Well, we are picking up in Hebrews 4. Last week I read 3:1 through 4:11, and we rehearsed that time in the wilderness, or the coming upon the land of promise, and then another episode after having begun the quest of that land, or the travel through the wilderness of God's people, having His word, seeing His miracles, and yet not responding in faith. The writer of the Hebrews, who is trying to minister to a group of people, a church, very likely in Rome under persecution, trying to give them the courage to stay faithful to Christ at a time when it would be either would have been easy to just to turn away or to maybe kind of quiet the mention of Jesus and just go back to kind of worshiping in Judaism. And so he is, I'll go ahead and mention what I said, our 3 points last week. God's word demands a faithful response. Unbelieving rejection of God's word leads to rebellion, sin, and disobedience. And that's what he talks about in the wilderness. But God's word promises rest. Rest to the believing and obedient. Then he returns to those themes he already has, and he gets real down to the point. So I'm going to read Hebrews 4, 12 through 16. And this will be a brief meditation as we then prepare to go to God's table this morning. I'm going to go back to verse 11, 4:11. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Again, today, the Lord's Day, is even a picture of the rest, this resting that we will have eternally, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitude of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Our Father in heaven, we do pray as we consider your word this morning. The grass withers, the flower fails, but your word stands forever. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen. Well, whose word are you going to listen to? I mean, you have competing voices right now. All the time, every day. Who are you going to listen to? When those 12 spies spied out the land, y'all know the story. I'll just remind you. When the 12 spies, they all came back and said, well, this is a great land. Beautiful, wonderful cities. Very rich harvests. They even brought some of the harvest back. But 10 of them said, but y'all, these folks are like giants. We're like grasshoppers. We can't do it. No matter what, we can't do it. Only Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we can. God's with us. Friends, they had forgotten. They had seen 10 plagues. Y'all know the 10 plagues. And you know what? We're just like them. They saw God's power, and then things got tough. And they forgot, and they panicked. Joshua and Caleb pled with them. No, with God with us, we'll take these folks. But they didn't. That whole generation. Everybody 20 and under watched their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents over 40 years pass away before they entered the land. So he's saying, who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to listen to? When they say spirituality is okay, but not Jesus, who are you going to listen to? When someone says, oh, it's okay, nobody will know. Nobody will know. We can just erase this, put in, you don't have to write. All right, we'll just click in this number. Nobody will know. Who are you going to listen to? God's word. Those faithful people he's put in your life who tell you the truth, even when it hurts, even when it's uncomfortable or inconvenient. We just have 2 points today. And thank the Lord for his word. God's word is his personal, powerful utterance that brings spiritual diagnosis. And then Jesus, he sympathizes with us. Just God's word. He's reminding them of this. Remember, he said, today, if you hear his voice. Now he's getting it real. Because then, these are people who are, I've already said it for those who weren't here, I'll say it again. This is written to some of the groups of people hearing this were being challenged to give up their faith. And you know what? They had reason to give it up. Because they might get thrown into a coliseum. And this is real. This isn't made up. And they would be eaten by lions. Okay, that's the truth. Or they might be tied to a stake and lit on fire. That's what Nero would do to light up the night like a street lamp today. So this is not, you know, this is real. And he's saying to them, it's kind of tough love, isn't it? I know you may have to give up. You know, as you read the whole book of Hebrews, as you haven't had to give up, you haven't had to shed your blood yet, this group, but you might. And later you would say, you know, you have visited those in prison and you might have to keep doing that. But he's saying, you know what? Stay faithful. Listen to God's word. And he reminds them, our forefathers and our foremothers in the faith didn't. But are you going to listen? And then he describes God's word, and I'm so thankful because with God's spirit and with his word, y'all know this is true. I'm going to find my place. Verse 12, God's word is living and active. This is just real simple. Y'all know this. When you read God's word, when you hear it faithfully preached, even when we discuss it around the table there faithfully, you can know it's living, it's active. It isn't just a book. It's a living book because it's God's word. Living and active. It gets to our conscience. It pricks our heart. So he's saying, listen. Listen to it. You know, we just rehearsed it, that wonderful reminding us it's like honey. It's nourishing. At the same time, we can't hide. What is it? Penetrates to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow, judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Nothing. Through God's word, by his spirit, nothing is hidden from his sight. There's lots here to think about. You know, God's word is it's a mirror. And when we look at it, we see ourselves. And we see God. Because the most two important things to know is to know God and then to know ourselves and then how we should respond to God. I don't have lots of examples. In some ways, I didn't write down lots of. There's different places in Scripture that when you, here's the example. That kind of lets us know how the judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You remember David, okay? See, this is the beauty of God's word. Now, the application for this first point is just going to be to spend time in God's word. You remember David? David, who, thank God for David, because he shows us the reality of sinful people who know the Lord can still fall into sin. You remember, he should have been out with his troops, you remember? But he's walking around on the roof. He sees Bathsheba. God's word, he wasn't meditating on God's word, and he has lust in his heart, and he lets things build, like James would tell us. The next thing you know, right, he's gone through all that. Uriah is dead at the front lines. We find out that Bathsheba, we're going to later find out she's with child. And Nathan, you remember Nathan? He goes to David. He tells him that parable. You remember? King, I need to tell you something going on. No, he doesn't know it's a parable at the time. He says, there's this person, and there's this rich man, and he has plenty of flocks, and yet he took the little lamb from his neighbor and gave it to his friend visiting. He took the only lamb he had that he would hold in his arm and feed from his table. And all his anger wells up and said, this man should die. I'm just paraphrasing. What does Nathan do? That word stirs up David, doesn't it? And what does Nathan say? You're the man. And what does God's word do to David's heart at that moment? Do you remember? All the lust, all the foolishness, all the hardness of heart melts away. And he says, I've sinned against God. You know, David was so thankful for God's word. Then you have that very interesting episode. He actually fasts and prays that maybe God will let that child live. But God says, no, the child dies, and everybody's afraid David's going to go nuts. And he gets up and goes to worship. God's word. Thank God his word will do the same thing for us. Wake us up out of our stupor. Prick our hearts and turn us back in the right direction. Thank God for his word. It gives spiritual diagnosis. And look, you can't hide. Don't try to hide. Run to the very one you've sinned against. That's what David did. The very one he'd sinned against, he goes to him in worship. Do you believe God is present this morning, directing you through his word? God's word is his personal, powerful utterance. It brings spiritual diagnosis. But why? Why? You might say, why should this church remain faithful? Why should it listen to this word? And he says, you know what? Here's why. Here's why you should listen. And here's why you should remain faithful. See, what does it say? Verse 14. Jesus, the Son of... I'm in the middle. Jesus, the Son of God. You have Jesus. Therefore, hold firmly. Why? He uses the double negative. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Let's flip it to the positive. We have a high priest who sympathizes with us. Jesus sympathizes with you. Do you believe that this morning? I mean, he sympathized with us so much, he left us a meal to proclaim his death till he comes so that we could taste. You know, even everything I've said so far this morning is very somewhat abstract. But in a few moments, we get to taste food with our own taste buds to remind us of what Jesus has done. And by his spirit, to be spiritually nourished. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. How about this? He was tempted in every way. You know, we look at each other sometimes and we encourage and we exhort one another and sometimes we think, you don't understand. Well, sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong about that. But you're always wrong when you think Jesus doesn't understand, because he does. Tempted in every way, without sin. In fact, in another place in Hebrews, it said he learned obedience through suffering. The Son of God came to earth, humbled himself, that he would learn obedience through suffering. So that's what he's saying. Stand firm, even to the point of death, because of Jesus. For one thing, because Jesus did. He was obedient to death, even death on a cross. And you know what? Here's the amazing thing. You can approach his throne of grace with confidence. And when you go to that throne, And we can go to it. We don't have to have a high priest on earth who had to atone for his sins first. And then tradition says they tied a rope around his foot as he walks into this place into the Holy of Holies. So in case he dies, they could pull him back out. We don't have to do that. It's not like that anymore. We all can approach the Holy of Holies of heaven. And actually today, I would submit to you, he raises us into heaven to partake of this meal with him at his table in heaven. So we approach the throne of grace with confidence we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Are any of you in need this morning? Any of you need grace? Mercy? Mercy. Not getting what we do deserve. Any of you deserve? You deserve some stuff, and praise God, he's withholding it. And then grace, getting something beautiful, marvelous, that we don't deserve. Well, that's what we have the opportunity for this morning. Paul, who wrote the words that Jesus humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross, Paul also said, I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The Lord gave us a meal. He took the Passover meal and he transformed it into what we call the Lord's Supper or communion. He knows we're needy. He knows our faith. He knows, friends, on my way here this morning, I have a really not, you know, I come a little bit from the north. Some of you come from the south. I'm driving. Joseph and Thomas are with me. It is a beautiful day. We're having a very deep day. They're asking me these deep questions about life and eternity, you know. I mean, it was great. All that a father could ask for. And as I'm answering them, you know what I prayed in my own spirit? I said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Y'all pray that? That's what this table's for. To help our unbelief. As our bulletin says, I'll invite all who've been baptized, who confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, who profess that belief in a local body of believers, and who aren't in unrepentant sin or under the discipline of local church. If this is you, then you're invited. But listen, if you confess your sin this morning, like David, and you realize, I'm the man, I'm the woman, I repent, then come back and join. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this table where we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, where you minister to our spirit, where you strengthen our faith, where you give us peace of conscience, where you strengthen us for our duties, that we may do our duties with diligence and with the joy of the Lord. Lord, now set apart these common elements to a holy use, to minister to your people. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.